Good morning. Let's open to the book of Acts, chapter 12, Acts of the Apostles, chapter 12, 1 through 19. Acts 1 through 19 from the NASB. Now, about that time, Herod the king laid hands on some who belonged on the church in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. When he saw that it pleased the Jews, he proceeded to arrest Peter also. That was during the days of unleavened bread. When he had seized him, he had put in prison, delivering him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. So Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. On the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up, saying, "Get up quickly." And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals," and he did so. He said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow, and did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself, and they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all the Jewish people were expecting, and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." And when he realizes, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where many were gathered together and were praying. When he knocked at the door of the gate, a servant girl named Rhoda came to answer. When she recognized Peter's voice because of her joy, she did not open the gate, but ran in and announced that Peter was standing in front of the gate. They said to her, "You are out of your mind. You're crazy." But she kept insisting that it was so. They kept saying, "It is his angel." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door, they saw him and were amazed. But motioning to them with his hand to be silent, he described to them how the Lord had led him out of prison. He said, "Report these things to James and the brethren." Then he left and went to another place. Now, when day came, there was no small disturbance among the soldiers as to what could have become of Peter. When Herod had searched for him and had not found him, he examined the guards in order that they be led away to execution. Then he went down to Judea to Caesarea and was spending time there. Let's pray this morning. Lord, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for what you're able to do. We thank you what you have done. And we thank you for what you will do. God, we just want to be with you today. We want to learn from your word and want to know who you are. So God, we just honor you today. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So here we are in the book of Acts, and we see a common sight, and it was the church at prayer, a church gathering together to pray. Not just a few disciples, but the whole community of believers praying together. Now, this is unique in the book of Acts because in the Gospels, you don't see that at all. You don't see the disciples hardly getting together to pray. In fact, you see a lot of Jesus in the Gospels, Jesus praying alone. And when Jesus does ask them to get together and pray, what do you find them doing? You see them in the Garden of Gethsemane sleeping. But now, after the resurrection in the book of Acts, you see that the disciples, they're praying, not just a few of them, but most of them gathering together to pray. Because now they understand that there's this need to pray, and when they pray, God acts. So as we read, Peter is now placed in custody. There's 16 soldiers. There's four squads of four men each. There's four shifts of guards taking turns. And so now the guards ought to be more alert than the prisoners. He's bound in chains to two soldiers, one on either side of him. And there's a double guard on him around the clock to make sure that, you know, there's no way that he can escape. This is the situation. So the church gathers together to pray. And the situation is quite critical. Previously, James got executed. And in verse 3, it says that when he saw that it pleased the Jews, Herod proceeded to seize Peter also. So Herod wanted to make the people happy, so Peter was next to be executed. And so now just imagine, right? Jesus just died, resurrected. This is the beginning of a church. just the beginning of these believers getting together. And two of the church's foremost leaders, one was dead and the other likely to be killed. The two of the top leaders, and this is at such an early stage of their ministry in the church. And now we get to see how God responds to their prayer, and it's remarkable. In verse 6, it says, the night before Herod was about to bring him to trial, God sends an angel to deliver the servant a night before the trial. And so God moved when it seemed humanly impossible, in a situation that seemed impossible, to free Peter. And he did it at the very last minute, at the 11th hour, as they say. And he did it in a miraculous way. Can you imagine what Peter must have thought? I mean, I can tell you what he's thinking. It's written in the next few verses. He thought it was all a dream. That was funny to me. He thought that it wasn't real, but it was. I don't think I've ever had that happen. I've had the reverse where it really was a dream, but it seemed real. But Peter, like, it was real, but it seemed like a dream. I don't think I've ever experienced that. But it wasn't that until he was after prison that he realized it was true. So now what was happening in the background? The background, the disciples, the church, they got together. They're praying for his deliverance. They're praying God would do something. And they're praying, God, you know, release Peter. Come on, God, release Peter. We're fasting. We're praying. You know, release Peter in Jesus' name. Get him out. Do something. Do a miracle. You know, God, you know, you've got to do it. Save his life. Save his life. Right? That's how we pray, right? When we're in a crisis situation, when there's somebody important that we care about that needs something like that to happen. And God actually answers. If we examine our prayer life, you could imagine the sort of the faith or the belief level of the disciples gathering. I mean, just think about it. The church had just seen James killed, and this probably would have dampened their faith. James couldn't be rescued, so what is there for hope for Peter? And so if for us, as we experience failure, or if we experienced a delay in prayer, or maybe God said no, or for some reason it was God's will that it was not to happen, you know, maybe a loved one died of a sickness or passed away of a sickness, and you have another loved one, and so now you're discouraged by the first circumstance of a loved one passing away, and now you have another one, and so it's like, well, we tried this before. We prayed before. It didn't work. It didn't happen. And so these disciples could have, you know, felt the same way. Well, you know, in James' situation, it was impossible, and he was executed. Peter's, man, it looks hopeless. But no, they still got together and prayed. And so the whole church is praying for Peter's release. And look at what happens. Peter gets released and starts knocking on the door, and look at the response of the people who are praying. Lord, release Peter, release Peter. It's Peter. No, it can't be Peter. It's not Peter. Lord, would you release Peter? Come on, God, can you set him free? It's Peter. No, it's not Peter, because we're praying for his release, but he can't be released. That's not possible. Oh, Lord, you know. Isn't that how we approach prayer also? Where we pray, and we want God to do something, and then when it happens, we're like, oh, no, that's not God. And so Peter comes to the house, and they're saying, that can't be Peter because he's in jail, and we're praying for his freedom, but he can't be here. How ironic is that? And so when we pray for God to answer, and he answers. There's a story of a man who got a permit to open a pub, a tavern in a small town. And the members of the local church were strongly opposed against that bar opening. So they began to pray that God would intervene. And a few days before the tavern was scheduled to open, lightning hit it and burned it to the ground. So the people of the church who had been praying were kind of surprised, but they were pleased. Until they received notice that the tavern owner would be suing them. And he contended that their prayers were responsible for the destruction of the building, so that they're liable. But the church, they denied the charge. And at the conclusion of the hearings, the judge remarked, well, at this point, I don't know what my decision will be. But it just seems to me that the tavern owner believes in the power of prayer and the church people don't. And so a lot of times we pray and we really don't expect much to happen. Very natural because of maybe previous sort of situations. I wonder if there's a time where God has answered your prayer and you couldn't believe that he did it so quickly. Because most of the time we wonder, you know, if he hears us and how long that we're going to have to wait. And so Rhoda, the servant girl, goes out and she says, guys, you know, the person knocking at the door, it's actually Peter. And they didn't believe her, so they had to go and check it out themselves. And so my admonition or questions to you is, how often do we pray not expecting an answer? This is what this group of disciples did. They got together, they prayed for Peter's release, they didn't expect God to answer that. But how often do we pray and don't expect an answer? And how often does God answer and we don't accept it? How often does God answer our prayer and we don't accept it? And how many times have we missed out on God's answer because we're too caught up in past circumstances, caught up in past sort of happenings or disappointments? And so the church has come together to pray in situations like crisis. And so I want to encourage us to get together and pray. And as we pray for and intercede for the sick, this is sort of the same attitude that I'd like us to have, is that the church in Acts got together to pray. And though many of them probably didn't expect God to answer, God still answered as they prayed. And so we're going to still pray for them. And expect God to answer and be a part of what God is doing in their lives. Let's bow our heads and let's meditate upon the power of prayer in community. I could imagine the disciples being discouraged by this little girl, bothered by this little girl, Rhoda, just bothered because she's interrupting the prayer time. I could imagine the disciples saying, "Hey, little girl, quit interrupting us. Don't you see that we're praying? Get away, kid. I'm praying to see God set Peter free." So, Lord, we just pray that as we intercede, that we would pray with expectation. Even though in the past, our expectations may not have been met, Lord, help us not to give up. Just as the early believers did not give up on Peter. Lord, we thank you for this morning.
Said, pray and I'll hear from heaven, and I'll heal your land. You said, ask and you will receive whatever you need. You said, pray and I'll hear from heaven, and I'll heal your land. You said your glory will fill the earth like water in the sea. You said, lift up your eyes, the harvest is here, your kingdom is near. You said, ask and I'll give the nations to you, O Lord. That's the cry of my heart. Distant shores and the islands will sing your light as it rises on earth Ask and I'll give the nations to you, oh Lord. That's the cry of my heart. Distant shores and the islands will see your light as it rises on earth. You said, ask and you will receive whatever you need. You said, pray and I'll hear from heaven, and I'll heal your land. You said, your glory will fill the earth like water in the sea. You said, lift up your eyes, the harvest is here, the kingdom is near. You said, ask and I'll give the nations to you, oh Lord. That's the cry of my heart. Distant shores and the islands will sing your light as it rises on earth. Ask and I'll give the nations to you, oh Lord. That's the cry of my heart. Distant shores and the islands will sing your light as it rises on earth.
So let's do that. Let's pray and intercede for those who are sick, struggling with cancer, and let's pray as a community. And ask the Lord for their deliverance from their sickness. Let's pray for healing. And let's lift up those that you know that are struggling with cancer. I'm sure the list will be up there soon. But let's pray for them right now. And pray for healing. Let's pray for those who are sick, but also don't know Christ, and let's pray for their salvation. Let's pray that they would receive Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So let's lift them up in prayer now. Let's pray for those who are going through other illnesses and sicknesses as it probably handicaps them. Let's pray for complete healing and restoration and renewal and health. So let's lift them up in prayer now. Let's pray for those who are looking for employment and jobs. Let's ask the Lord to sustain them and be gracious to them. Let's ask the Lord to open doors and opportunities for them. Let's pray for them now. Let's pray for our mission focus this morning, and let's lift up North Korea and South Korea, Japan. Let's lift up Chris and the community there. Let's pray for South Korea, just even for the morality there. And let's pray for Japan and Pastor Sophia, who's in New Zealand doing language studies in preparation to go. So let's lift up these three nations. Let's pray for our intercessory prayer team who prays for us, and so let's pray for them. Let's pray for our well ministry, our prayer ministry, and Cascade, our inner healing ministry. Let's ask the Lord to use them to heal, and let's pray for more volunteers and ministers to be a part of these teams. So let's lift them up in prayer right now. And let's pray for men's and women's ministries, that God would bless the leadership, and the guys and girls would just experience Christ through these ministries. So let's pray for them. Pray for the SPLI class eschatology meeting today, I believe. So let's lift them up in prayer and ask the Lord to bless them and use them. Let's pray for our SP Lights outreach. That's today. Let's ask for good weather, and let's ask the Lord to bless them, and that they would receive the love of Christ, and that they would receive healing for their souls. And so let's lift them up right now. Father, we get together as a church to pray and intercede for our loved ones. And we just pray in expectation, God, that you would hear and that you would answer, and that you would provide, Lord, that you would bless, that you would heal. God, we just thank you that you are a God of miracles, that you're able to do miraculous things, that you're the God of the impossible, Lord, that you're able to do the impossible, Lord. So we just pray that our faith would arise and increase. And so, Lord, we just ask for your presence here, God. We want to be with you, God. We love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessings to you. Have a wonderful time of prayer, and we'll see you tomorrow.